Good morning, everybody. Jeff Klein here. Welcome to the Mastermind call for Spotlight, Premier, and Premium and Booking members of Speaker Co-op. We're glad you're here, and I'm going to introduce our moderator today. Bobby Molloy is the chief copywriter, the conversion hacker, and author of the book, How to Build an Irresistible Offer in Easy Steps. A recovering computer scientist turned persuasion crusader, she fuses technical data with her passion for understanding what makes people tick and what compels them to take action. Since 2013, Bobby has sold more than $63.7 million, that's right, $63.7 million of products online and has worked with startup entrepreneurs, eight-figure businesses, and everything in between. Bobby lives and works out of her home in the great state of Texas with her two boys and one crazy dog. You can find out more about Bobby and her services at conversionhacker.com, and her email is Bobby, B-O-B-B-I-E, at conversionhacker.com. Welcome, Bobby Molloy. Hi.
Hello, hello. Thank you. It's always interesting to hear, kind of hear your intro. So yeah, let's talk about irresistible offers, right? And so we'll talk about this for about 10 minutes, and then we'll mastermind around things. And one of the things that I've noticed with almost everybody that I talk to is they have something for sale. It's a product or service for sale. But what they don't realize is that there's a difference between having something for sale and understanding what an offer is, okay? So we're going to define what an offer is, especially when it concerns, when it concerns sales, right? Having a product means just having a product. It's not an offer until there's a price attached to that product. So if I'm selling phones, and let's say I want to sell cell phones, and the one that I have, you know, my cell phone is an iPhone, right? The iPhone is a product. It doesn't become an offer until you attach that price to it. But does that make it a compelling offer just because I say, here is something to buy and here is the price? For most people and for most businesses, the answer to that is actually no, it's not compelling enough to just say, I have something for sale and here's the price. And that's where most salespeople or people that do sales, because not everybody considers themselves a salesperson, most people that sell things, they go wrong because they assume that all somebody's looking for is the product and the price. Now, if you are an Apple junkie, like a lot of us are that have Apple products, that may be all we need, but we understand the company, we know what it stands for, we understand the value that the products offer. And so when I need to buy a new laptop, I go, I just want the price, that's fine, but I've convinced myself that what they have is valuable. For many of the businesses and services and people out there that have things to sell, their environment, their audience doesn't actually have that level of sophistication that says all I need is the price and I will buy, which is why it's important to build your compelling offer. So let's talk about really quickly six steps. And I love this because they're stepping stones to creating an irresistible offer. And I've just revamped this. I've given this, talked about these quite a few times, and I've revamped it. So now there's a nice acronym. And I call them the six stepping stones to create an irresistible offer because your acronym is PAVERS, P-A-V-E-R-S. And when you understand what these six steps are, you can build an irresistible offer for anything at any point in time, whether it is a product or a service, and instantly build that desire in your prospects that says, oh my gosh, this is an offer that I can't refuse. We're all going to become the godfather when we understand how to do this. I'm going to make them an offer they can't refuse. So the first step in our offer is P, or product. What are you selling? Not the list of 100 things that's in your catalog if you're an e-commerce store. Not every product and service that you offer, but what is the one product that you are selling to them? This is the part where a lot of people go wrong. They'll give all of these different variations of what they offer, and you've confused your prospect because now they have to really sort through and go, okay, what's best for me? Do I want this version? Do I want this version? Give them one thing to focus on. That's the product. And remember, in order to create it and in order to start as an offer, we have a product and then we have to add the price. So we kind of have a double P there. So it's product and the price of the product. Next is A. We're going to anchor that price point to something exponentially higher or lower, depending on where you want to sit in the realm of value. Okay. So in the healthcare industry, if you're selling supplements or any kind of like functional medicine or any of that type of stuff, one of the things that they do really well is say, if you don't do business with us, it could cost you your life, right? That's a pretty high anchor, right? It could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills because you don't pay attention to your body now, right? So that they'll anchoring it super high. This is also done with a lot of speakers and coaches and business consultants because they're like, well, you could hire me directly and it's $20,000 for one-on-one conversation. So we anchor super high price and then we drop it and go, but today only, you know, maybe it's $2,000 for our services. So anchor high and then you provide this perceived value, intrinsic value to the person who's listening that they're trying to justify in their head the super high price that you put. So if you wanted to do consulting with me and it's $20,000 for 3 days worth of consulting, if you come with me, your brain is automatically going, whether you want it to or not, your subconscious mind is trying to justify, can you afford that price point? And it's a super high price point. So they're like, okay, $20,000, it's 3 days. All right, it's a little bit less than $6,000 a day. Certainly I could handle that. Can I justify it? Am I going to, you know, your brain starts doing this. So you always anchor something where you want it, where you want them to go. And then you undercut it and say, but for today only, we're going to do this for $2,000. And it's a different, you know, if you're going to get access to my group program or whatever that is, right? So they're trying to justify already the super high price and you undercut it with a lower price. So you've created immediate value to them. The other way to do this, which is actually my favorite way to do this, is to go in the opposite direction. Sure, you could pay super cheap. There's actually a VCR company that did this, or I want to say TiVo, or one of the ones from a couple of years back. They said, yeah, you can go buy the bargain basement, big box Walmart VCR player, and you'll buy one every 6 months because it's going to break. So sure, you could save $10 and buy this $5 VCR, and then you'll buy another one in 6 months, and then you'll buy another one in 6 months, and then you'll buy another one in 6 months because it breaks constantly, but that's the quality that you're paying for. Or you could go with us, pay $50, and buy it once and have it for the rest of your life. So you can do it in both directions. You can anchor high or anchor low. Either way, you end up justifying to your prospects and the people that are listening to you and your audience, they're trying to justify a price one way or the other. If you want to anchor the low price, you make it painful. If you want to anchor the high price, you make it, you give them the relief that they don't have to do that. So that's A, that's our second step. V is value add. This is where you continue to pile on the benefits and advantages of the product or service that you're offering now for this seemingly low price or seemingly expensive price, depending on how you anchored it. This could be bonuses. This could be additional PDFs, be things that you can just throw on. Here's a checklist. Here's a download PDF. Here's an ebook that I wrote to add value. You're going to throw all of this in so that you increase what it is that they are getting without increasing the price. Step number four is E, and which is endorse. This is where you stand behind your product or guarantee it in one way, shape, or form. Now, if you can't actually use the word guarantee because your company says, oh, no, we don't guarantee anything. There are other ways to use to do this, and really it's you endorsing the quality and value of the product that or service that you're providing. So if you cannot guarantee results, I can't guarantee results in my industry. I can, however, guarantee that I will give them my best effort and do everything I can, everything within my power to get them the results that they want based on certain parameters that I have to put in place because I'm not involved in the soup to nuts of the offer of what it is that they're doing. So can you guarantee that you're going to show up on time? Can you guarantee that when they call, you'll answer within 3 rings if they call your personal cell phone? Can you guarantee that, or, you know, can you stand behind your product enough that says if you try it for 30, 60, 90, 120 days, that you'll refund them no questions asked if they have their, if they have a problem or whatever. Any of those types of things that helps to just build the value of this offer that you're giving them. Step 5 is to reiterate, which means at this point in time, you've gone through a couple of different things. Now you need to reiterate and sum up what it is that you are offering them because we all have short memories. And by this point in time, most of your prospects don't even remember what you're offering. So you just go through it really shortly. Here's the product. Here's the anchor price. Here's the price of it. Here's the value. Here's my guarantee and that I have endorsed it all back up together, following into step 6, which is actually asking for the sale. One of the biggest problems that most people don't get is if you don't actually tell them how to give you money, how to buy, where to get your product or service, you become just information givers instead of actual salespeople. It is not slimy or used car salesmen like to ask for the sale as long as you've provided value and useful information to the person who is listening. So that rounds out the 6 stepping stones to create an irresistible offer. I'll go over them when, I'll list them all one more time, and then we can discuss about everybody who's on the call. We can discuss about your offers or mastermind or however it is that we need to so that you can continue to get value out of how you present what you're selling. So 6 steps. Remember, it's PAVERS is your acronym. So the 6 steps are the product, anchor the price, value add, endorse it, reiterate, and sale, ask for the sale. So how many people do we have on the call? I heard a couple of dings while I was in the middle of talking. So let's open it up and mastermind and talk about really whatever it is that we want to discuss so that we can all get better, make more sales, make more money, and provide more value to the people that we serve.
Howdy, Jeff here. Let's just sound off, everybody.
This is Barbara.
All right, so we've got the 3 of us. We can do super deep dive mastermind if we need to. Fantastic.
There you go.
So Jeff and Barbara. Jeff, I've talked with you a little bit about this. So Barbara, why don't we start? I mean, these calls, as far as I understand, and I think Jeff will direct me if I'm wrong, is to kind of help you with whatever it is that you either are struggling with or want information about. So let's start with you, Barbara, because I know that you said you're new. How can we help? How can we serve? What are you struggling with? What do you need?
Awesome. This is great. I'm jotting down notes like crazy. this is something I struggle with. I'm not the sales personality, so it's something that I do struggle with. And I had one little question. Within the first 2 steps, you're listing the price before you're building value. Do you find that order to be important?
So here's the deal. When you're creating this irresistible offer, at this point in time, this is not the first thing that you tell people. By the time that you've introduced your product, this is one of the last things that you do in any sales environment, okay? So you talk about their pain points, what is it that they're struggling with, how can you help them? So you've built all of that rapport beforehand. This is specifically talking about that offer from the moment where you say, here's what I have for sale, which is why we start with introducing the product. So at this point in time, by the time you've gotten here, you should be okay, because if you haven't, then you're, you know, we need to talk about the order that you're doing everything else in. This is all about how do you present your product in an offer that becomes irresistible, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally does. I love it. And that's where I tend to, I will sometimes be so excited about something and I'll tend to skip the rapport building and the pain point, finding out their pain point and go like, oh my gosh, here's this great thing. Do you want to do this with me? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where I jump. Yeah.
Well, and what I find very interesting is this part here, specifically the offer aspect of it. This is where there's a transition from giving you information and, you know, telling you how amazing, you know, they are, or just dealing with people in their struggle. This is that exact moment where it goes from, hey, I'm just sitting down having coffee with you, to I've turned into a salesperson at this point in time. And honestly, in my humble opinion that I do believe everybody is entitled to hear, it is, it is this, everybody is a salesperson, right? Because everybody has to, you have to sell your boss on giving you a raise if you work for somebody. You have to sell your product if you're the only one in there. If you have to sell people and can give them an offer to say, hey, let's go out Thursday night for drinks. So everybody in every capacity is a salesperson, right? I mean, you could run through these six stepping stones to an irresistible offer to get your friends to go out and drink with you, right? You know, hey, what's your product? Hey, let's go out and have a great time. Anchor the price. Oh my God, why are you staying at home bored watching Netflix again? Come out with me. Let's have a, you know, we'll throw some money at the bartender. Let's go. Value add, great time with us, great conversation. Let's go hit the table. Like, look, you see how this works. And the more you get into doing this, whether it's in-person sales or in the writing sales, everybody does this. Everybody has an offer and is trying to compel people to take action in one way, shape, or form in their life. And when you understand this process from this point forward, you become that godfather. You're making them an offer they can't refuse.
I love it.
I picked up a quote, Bobby, that I wrote down, and I'm probably going to steal from you.
Uh-oh, which one is it?
He's entitled to hear.
Yes. In my humble opinion that I believe everybody is entitled to hear. I heard that from somebody like what it feels like 100 years. I know I'm not that old, but it feels like 100 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, that's brilliant. And, you know, I used to just bowl over people and give them my opinion anyways. So now I tell them it's my humble opinion. Just everybody's entitled to hear it.
There you go. Barbara, let me ask you how this struck you, because you said you're not a salesy person, I love Bobby's content here because I've been selling since my first job, you know, selling mm-hmm. shoes at the mall, and I consider myself, and I kind of follow, you know, Zig Ziglar's conversation about how nobody should be ashamed of being a salesperson, but also nobody grows up saying they're going to be, you know, I want to grow up and be a salesperson. but that's what I can, in a lot of ways. And before I got into where I am now as a speaker and I figured out who I am for a lot of my life, I would say I'm a salesperson. Because that's what I did. As a salesperson, you solve people's problems, you help people get through the day, you know, all those kinds of things are a result of that. But the bottom line is somebody's got to be out there selling it because people need it. So I get my question, my lengthy question, sorry, is mm-hmm. as somebody who says you're salesy, how does this system, this suggestion that Bobby's put together strike you, regardless of the speaking piece?
Yeah, I love how I love the step-by-step. I'm a detailed person, so I love the step-by-step here. And this gives me a framework to mm-hmm. for each of my products and services to go and say, okay, what is my, you know, for each letter of this acronym, you know, have I hit all of these steps? And it's just a really great framework to use moving forward. So I really appreciate that.
Awesome.
Okay.
It was, did that answer your question?
Yeah. I want to ask Bobby a question and parse on both of our behalfs, Barbara, because I know you and your husband are having some events. I have regular events. When I talk to speakers about what they struggle with, butts and seats is one of the number one things people want help with. So, Bobby, will you talk to us about using this? I know this is not designed for that specifically,
uh-huh.
but talk to us about using similar concepts to what you've got here for pavers to get people to show up at an event. And that can be on the phone, it can be a webinar, and that's me in person, but the idea is get people to say, to come to our Tuesday at 2:00.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it really, when you use the steps, it works for anything. You just have to understand the value add piece is actually where, because at this point in time, like I said, you've built the rapport, you've had their talk, right? But the value add is where you're going to really give them why is it that they need to take that action even more. So for a butts and seats type thing, it's always easier to get somebody to a digital event because they don't have to move, right, than it is to get them butts and seats at a physical event. So you have to understand what is it that drives them to get up and out of their day. And to kind of break the normal pattern that they have. So that value add component in this one for any type of event is going to be what is the true value for them, not for you. What is the true value for them to leaving their house, getting in their car, spending the money to drive, spending the money to get on a plane if they, you know, if that's what it takes, spending the money for a hotel room. Like when you truly add up the cost of people going to live events, because then there's the per diem food and all that type of stuff, your value of them being there physically in that location has to more than exceed their perceived cost across the board. It's not just, you know, hey, it's $1,000, you know, or not even that. Even if it's only $250 to come and join you at this location, depending on where your location is, even anything here in Dallas, I have to go drive my car. If I'm going to be there over lunch, then it's the cost of lunch, you know, or it's the cost of me not doing my normal routine, right? So maybe you catch me in on a Thursday, which happens to be my biggest sales day of the week, because that's when I decide to cold call. Well, now you're fighting all of these different things where I go, have to justify, do I spend money or make money? And this is a constant struggle with everybody that is trying to be compelled to go somewhere, right? So what is the value that your live event offers that is going to be more than my initial resistance to, you know, it's the, Isaac Newton, an object in motion stays in motion or will remain in motion unless acted on by equal or opposite force. Well, my normal daily routine is to sit in my damn chair in front of my laptop and do it that way. So you can you increase exponentially my ability to show up to something because it's digital, right? So how can you compel me enough? What does that value add to get me to change my direction, get up off of my chair and go do the motions that I need to get to your event? And if you haven't started with emotion, right? Or you haven't hit them in that emotional spot, you will never get the action. And I really do hate to use super extremes like never and always, but people don't do anything unless there's an emotion tied to it first, right? And you're like, really? Anything? I'm like, let's think about a drink of water. Do you get up and grab a drink of water because your rational brain says, I'm thirsty? No, that's not your first thought. The first thought is, my mouth is dry, which is not even really a thought. It's something is uncomfortable, right? Emotion, feeling. Something is uncomfortable. Then your rational brain kicks in and goes, oh, I'm thirsty. And my mouth is dry. I've got this cotton mouth. And you start rationalizing it, justifying this emotion and this feeling. And it happens in a split second for something, but it all stems back to that emotion. So if you can't emotionally talk to people and get them so like, and this is where conflict is actually good. You want them to be in conflict with whatever emotion you're trying to give them in order to then turn around and rationalize and justify for their forebrain. You know, we talk about the fore, you know, the hind brain, the fight or flight lizard brain. It's all emotion based. That's the first thing that triggers in our heads. And if we can't talk to that piece, no amount of justification is ever going to get them to move. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, and it also kind of feeds right to all the things we have now and all the tools where we have visuals and video and all kinds of ways to grab somebody's attention and provoke a response, because, you know, with social media and all those things, which feeds right into what you do for a living, you know, to with by being the person who, the expert on what goes into my ad that I post to get people to show up at an event.
Absolutely. And it's even, you know, being controversial, not for controversy's sake, but giving them something that breaks their pattern interrupt. So as a speaker, maybe one of the ways to capture my attention is to tell me why speaking for your business is a waste of time, which you would think might be counterintuitive and counterproductive for your message. But if I want to be a speaker, I'm like, well, wait a minute, what do you mean speaking is a waste of my time? And then as long as you can turn around and hit that emotion and then justify it that says, no, speaking, you know, speaking is a waste of time if you're doing it wrong, if you're showing up when there's only four people in the audience type thing, right? And then you're like, yeah, I can see how speaking would be a waste of my time there because of the same reasons, right? I've got to drive there. I've got to, you know, my time away from family, time away from my business, that type of stuff. But if you lead with that kind of counterintuitive aspect of it, then you can go, oh, but here's how it becomes valuable for you.
Right. And so, I've had some success out on the networking sale, you know, sales on training people with networking to say, hey, stop wasting your time, or are you wasting your time? You're going to meetings and making friends, but you're not coming home with any business, you know, or you're having great food, but not great results, you know, things like that. So I'm on board with you on all that. Barbara, did you get anything that you think might help with attendance at future events for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I create a lot of my products, a lot of them are going to be video courses and online. So I appreciate that comment about, you know, comparing the effort that it takes, because it is very, very different. And sometimes they're very different audiences, but I think a lot of
audiences
are more and more comfortable with the online atmosphere. And yeah,
for sure.
I mean, we just had an event last night, and, you know, people were worried that it might snow in Dallas. So we had to overcome, like, it's okay. You can still leave your house and it's not going to snow. It's okay. You know, so
yeah.
It's so interesting. Yeah.
Well, especially when you're doing your online video stuff, part of anchoring the price in your irresistible offer for that is, you know, tell people how much they could be spending to do it live, right? So
yeah.
Tell them, you're what they're doing is they're saving all of that, and they may not even register to them. So you tell them, don't assume people think that way. But give them that thought. Drop in that element of, oh, you're right, I would be spending this. So, oh my gosh, look at how much more of a deal your online course becomes when it's stacked up against $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 worth of travel expenses.
Perfect. Yeah, because the courses I'm offering, like I paid thousands and thousands and lots of travel to do these courses live with my mentor, and now I can offer them online, and it's a total different situation. Yeah, so I see how that's very valuable. Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of a difference when you tell people that, when you give them that anchor. Like I said, all these steps are built this way for a reason. Then you've convinced them. Here's the thing. Selling is easy when they're the ones that have sold themselves. All you're doing is giving them the information in the right order so that their brain can process the information properly, and then they either sell themselves or they don't. You're not actually a salesman. You're a guide.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome.
One more. This is a loaded question, Bobby.
I love
talking about changing the people's behavior, or not behavior, rather the shifting things to get people's attention. How do we get them to open the email about the event?
You have to give them a compelling subject line, and you have to make sure that you're not in the promotions tab.
Okay.
Right. And one of the ways that you do, I'm sorry, what was that?
Was a glitch. Go ahead.
Yeah. So emails are a fun one. In fact, I just created a 2-hour masterclass about emails and how do we sell through emails. But, I mean, really 80% of your marketing budget goes to the headline or the subject line of your emails, right? So the headline of your promotion or the subject line, because if you can't get people to open and even start reading something, then no matter how great your copy is or how compelling your offer is, if they're not reading it, it does you no good. So one of the best ways to, I'm a huge, 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 huge fan of split testing. And that's my technical background, right? That's the recovering computer scientist in me. I love data and I like to test things. So I'm constantly testing, which means, and when you do that with an email, don't send the same email to 100% of your list. Segment your list and do a split test. Send subject line A to a third of your list, send subject line B to a third of your list, and send subject line C to a third of your list, and then keep the rest of the email exactly the same. And which one gets the most opens? Well, once you've got the one that's the winner, send that one to the other two lists, because remember, your subject line changes, and you should see an increase in opens, right? If you only step up to the plate and take one swing, you're never going to hit a home run. You're not even going to get to first base. In fact, you will probably strike out every time, because all you took was one swing, threw the bat down on the ground and walked off and said somebody else's turn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So the more at bats you can give yourself, which is come up with a bunch of different subject lines. I spend most of my time in it, well, actually most of my time is done in the research phase and all that type of stuff. But once I start writing, most of my time writing is spent coming up with what is the headline or lead or subject line, because if that is not compelling enough to get them to open, it doesn't matter what I write after that. It's useless if it's
right.
Never seen.
So now sort of a technical question is, so you do an ABC test and more people open B, do you then take the A and C list and send it again with the B headline?
Absolutely. Send it usually a day or so later. Absolutely, 100%. And then you can even send, and here's a nice trick that email marketers do. And I wouldn't do this all the time, because people will start to get it and they'll notice what you're doing with a pattern. But if it's important enough, send the exact same email to everybody that didn't open with the subject line, did you see this? Question mark.
Yeah.
That will get more open.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of, because that RE colon makes you think that you actually already opened something.
Yes. Just remember that anything, you know, anything that I tell you to, that I've tried and everything like that, it's not designed to trick people into opening, right? So we want to be really careful about using tactics. That's where you start to get into that sleazy, slimy, used car salesman style. What's the term a lot of people use right now? Bro marketing, right? The one who says, look at me, I'm standing in front of my Ferrari and I've made millions of dollars, right? And you're like, and I'm pretty sure that your offer is pretty slimy. Like, I have to take a shower after reading your ad because I just feel icky. That's not what we're going for here, right? But when you do the split test and you send them the same type of thing and you really, number one, it has to come from a very genuine, I care about you as my prospect or you as my customer, and I really have this amazing thing that I think will benefit you. Because if you don't believe that it benefits them, well, then why are you selling it to begin with, right? So come from that place of service.
Right, right. Well, and so, you know, some of these conversations, and we always throw in the caveat, but for most of these kinds of conversations, we're assuming that people are in integrity and making offers that are good quality things that make sense for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, Yeah, absolutely.
It never hurts to kind of reiterate that. And Barbara, kind of to your point where you said that you're not a salesperson, you don't really sell anything. I don't consider myself a salesperson either. I'm a problem solver, and I connect people with the products and services that solve their problems, right? My mode of doing so is sales training and copywriting. But I don't consider myself a salesperson. I consider myself a problem solver. I find what their problems are. I genuinely care about what people's problems are. And then I connect them with the products and services that will help them solve their problems.
Yep.
I like that.
Makes sense. So I'm going to just start a wrap up. I want to make sure, Barbara, if you have other questions for Robbie, please do ask
them. Yeah, just when you were talking about the email, it needs to be a compelling subject line, and what was that other line? It's like the first line of the email or something?
Well, I mean, the subject line, and well, for most different things right now, and I don't think this is what I said, but you know, the subject line, and for email specifically, your preview text needs to continue the conversation compelling. Yes. Yeah, so subject line and preview text are the two biggest places where I will spend my time when I'm writing emails, because if it's not opened, if it's not read and compelling enough for them to open it, whatever follows that doesn't matter.
Right. Okay. Awesome. And then my other question regarding that is, where do I find that 2-hour master class of yours?
Well, I have that. Actually, I'm running this is funny. So I've recently got divorced. So I'm currently offering an F off sale for the month of February because my husband took half of everything, but he left an F off and said, instead of taking half off everything. So for the entire month of February, I'm actually offering that for $99, and you can get that. If you want to send me an email afterwards, I am happy to send you the link to get access to that. So my email address again is Bobby, B-O-B-B-I-E, at conversionhacker.com.
Perfect.
And for those listening to this recording after February of 2020, you can get that class. It may or may not be that price.
Exactly, and you can still access it by emailing me at the same email address, and we'll see what mood I'm in. But currently, February is the F off sale.
That's awesome.
Love that.
And because it's
conversionhacker.com. Is that's your website with all of your other products as well? Awesome.
Yes, cool. Yes, ma'am. It is.
And, of course, you can find both Bobby and Barbara at speakercoop.com when you're listening to this recording, if you want to talk to them about their speaking topics and bringing you out to your group. Always throw that out there. And just like you got this call at speakercoop.com, we archive all of the masterminds for people to listen to and learn from. And, of course, we learned a ton today from Bobby about the six steps to making an irresistible offer. And one of what I like about the mastermind conversation is we got to talk about how we actually apply the lesson. We don't just hear some content and then go on our merry way. We talked about actually applying it. So thank you so much, Bobby, for that, helping make it even more valuable to us and our community. And
absolutely.
I'll let you, if you've got some final words, I'll let you say the final bit before we stop the recording.
Ooh, let's see, parting thoughts. Parting thoughts are everybody creates offers. Everybody has something to sell. It is not slimy. Enjoy it and have fun. Come at it from a place of love and service, and you'll find that following a framework can help you just improve your results across the board.
Very good. Thank you so much again, Bobby Malloy. We appreciate you. And Barbara, Barbara, do I need to say all three names? Just two names from now on.
I'm going to ask you that in our next coaching session.
Okay. So Barbara Salmeron, and again, this is Jeff Klein signing off. We'll see you. You'll hear us next time.